Praise God. Now, many of you Bible scholars who would have thought about the scripture that's been read now will have thought about perhaps a week or two back. You thought, we'd be shortchanged. He's done this once. And you're right. But hopefully you won't be shortchanged. Because I just feel this word is important for today. I just really feel strange to bring it to you. Amen. For those of you who don't know, if you go to the website, the Wellspring website now, every week, although we're still doing the hard copies of the messages on CD, there is, you can actually listen to the sermons again. If you feel they're worthy of listening to again, you can listen to them on the internet, on the website, and it's another new resource. And thanks to Duncan for sorting it out so that we can do this method. And I know quite a few people around the world who look at our newsletter and things and feel they're part of the church, even though they only visit us certain times a year. They look at the newsletter, and when they come out, they feel like they're part of the body here. It's like their second home when they're in Spain. I know it's blessed a lot of people, and so I encourage you to listen again. Sometimes it's worth seeing, you know, like a film. You watch it once and you see it again, and you see the bits you missed the first time. And it's sometimes like that with the word. I know, so I've after so give my heart to Jesus at the age of 14, and now at the age of 59, I'm 58, sorry, nearly 59. She always likes to be 3 months older than me. I read things in the Word now, and I say, "Wow, I never saw that before." And I've read it time and time and time and time again, and suddenly, whew, there it is. And I just want to talk to you this morning about purpose. The victory, you read the victory sort of profile of the church and the heart of the church and vision for victory churches worldwide. Purpose comes into it. Destiny comes into it. Purpose and destiny. I wanted to share, perhaps some of you here don't know our testimony, but I want to share a little bit of my testimony this morning, because it ties beautifully in with the subject of purpose and destiny. And it's amazing to think that sort of 6 years ago, in 2 weeks' time, that Wendy and I drove down to Plymouth in our beaten up old Volkswagen Golf, towing the caravan that the car could hardly drag behind it, full of plant pots and stuff. And we came, and we'd been sent out by a Victory Church in the UK of Rugeley, and both of us sensed God wanted to do something with us in Spain, but we didn't know quite what it was going to be. But we came wanting to do something for God in Spain, and so there was us on the first sailing of the new ship from Plymouth to Santander, and we came over that day in March and arrived on Spanish shores. And struggled up mountains, and you know the oil warning light buzzer was going, and steam was coming out of the engine. We had to stop off up the mountain, and you know, when you know, sometimes it's like life story. You think you're on a mountain, you know, and you go around the next corner, Lord, that'll be the release, that'll be the downhill part. But no, it's not. You get to the next corner, and mile after mile after mile, we trudged in first gear with this caravan up the mountain. You see, we just knew, Wendy was just praying, and I was like hoping. That's the difference between us. She's the one who prays, and I'm the one that hopes. What it really wasn't a spiritual hope, it wasn't a biblical hope, it was a sort of, oh, please, Lord, if we only get around the next corner, you know. And but we did. And boy, when we cruised down the other side, it was wonderful. But shock of all shocks, we didn't know Spain was so mountainous. There was another level of mountains, and not the next ones, and oh dear. Anyway, we got here in the end. You see, we left Rugeley, the two of us. You know, a caravan, a dog and a cat, and an alpha course. And that's how we came. That's how we came. We didn't know anything else. We'd had many years' experience of being in church, but this was a new thing for us. And there was purpose, and we prayed on that ship. Lord, you know, keep us safe, keep us well. Help us not to get sick and all this sort of thing. We were praying, and God was faithful to that prayer as we prayed. We came with a purpose. We'd seen others released to their destiny, and now God was releasing us to our purpose and our destiny that we had years and years and years of training for, and we didn't realize it. God drew us here, and the most amazing for me was that God pulled me away from my secular work and I would call the pinnacle of my career. That's how I knew it was God. That's how I knew it was purpose and destiny. Because he never took me from my work when it was like when I was just repping around or working in the office or whatever. But when I'd reached a point and with offers in the future of great and wonderful things in the UK, that's when God called. And God said, come. And that's how I know it's purpose and destiny for us, and in turn all of you, because God called us here for a purpose, and he made us lay down the stuff. He made us lay down all those things that we clung to for security. You know, I had 12 years to go before I was retirement age. Like, you know, what a place to go. My pension fund was building nicely. And but God says, like, don't trust in your pension fund. Don't trust in these other things. Trust in me. And that's how we came. That's how we came to Spain. And that's why I knew we're in the right place with the Lord. And I know we are here today in the right place at the right time. And you are here today at the right in the right place at the right time for God to release you into your purpose and into your destiny. We didn't run away from England. We didn't come because of the sun. Perhaps Wendy did a little bit in her heart. She heard Jill Gifford's testimony about reading her Bible on the beach, and I think that's had something to do with it. We bought this ruin of a house that I initially thought was going to be our retirement place. But God had other plans, and so we came. You know, we came here, and then straight away, it's like the seed that fell on the stony ground. Straight away, we took the easy choice, the easy option. Suddenly our heads were saying, Lord, whatever you lead us to, we're going to do it. And then we found a church, and we thought that was going to be the place. We thought this is where it's going to happen. This is where God had brought us to. You know, and it wasn't to be. But after 2.5 years, we realized that what we'd been sent out to do was never going to happen where we were. Because we weren't fulfilling. We took the easy option. You know, we just joined along. But God had other things in his heart for us. And we had to get to that place. And when we came away from that church, I can't describe to you the feelings that we had. I felt so low. You know, we came on such a high. And then suddenly, we were like down here, rock bottom. You see, we took our eyes off the goal. We took our eyes off the purpose and the destiny that God had prepared for us. We took our eyes off it. But after a little while, the two of us very shortly became four. And then the four became six. And the six became eight, and the eight became ten. And at that stage, we felt there was enough to do something. And so we very tentatively started doing church. But boy, was it good. Did it not feel good that we were at last fulfilling the destiny and the purpose that God had for us and for our lives? You know, and it took us to reach that point of lowness that we'd never felt for many, many years. In fact, I'd never felt some of the feelings I had ever in my life before. And it almost was that broken point. And sometimes God allows us to, as it were, get to that broken point before he reaches out and says, take my hand. I want to take you to where you need to be. I want to take you to the land I promised you. I want to take you to that place where you can be useful for me, where you're going to be a blessing in my kingdom. And out of that, oh, so low, God lifted us up. It took us a low point to realize that God had a destiny for us and a purpose for us. It took us a low point to realize that we needed to be obedient to the call of God on our life. And that's how it happens a lot of times. And you see, we had to start using what we had. And it didn't seem a lot. It was four of us, a dog, and I think no cat then, and an Alpha course. And well, no, three dogs and Alf, of course. But it's just started to grow from there, and just people, God just drew people. And I really believe, folks, today we are here today, a church of purpose, a church of destiny, if you'll allow God to take you by the hand, if you will allow him to take you to where he wants you, not where you want to be, not where we want it to be, but where he wants me to be and he wants you to be. You know, I look out from this pulpit this morning and I see great opportunities, great, wonderful possibilities. Whatever you think about yourself, I believe God's given me a different kind of sight since Wellspring Church started. Ability to see past the normal, past the natural, past what is here, the potential that God has placed in this house. You know, and that's a wonderful thing to have, that's a wonderful ability to have, but boy, it makes you hungry to see it happen. And when I look out upon Wellspring Church, you here, you're the church. The church isn't about a building, it's about people. You're the church. When the people are moving, God will do the building, God will bring the building, God will do that. But when the people are ready, when the people are hungry, when the people are moving, when the pastor is moving, when the leadership is moving, that's when God will do the building. The building is a natural process of the people moving on and the people growing. So I look at people, and I look out here this morning, but I don't just see Wellspring, I see New Life Church meeting this today in Urkel Village in Almeria, and I see them, the folks down there, and I see the possibilities here. I see the possibility, Martin's here, Jill's not here today, but I see the possibilities of Cartagena in the future. I see the possibilities of Almeria City. You know, you see people, and when I see people, I see possibilities. I see new churches, I see people with a heart to serve and a heart to move on. And talking of moving on, I better move on, otherwise I won't keep my promise. 2 Kings chapter 4, 1-8. If Will wants to put it back up on there, you can do. But to praise you, this bit of scripture here, last time I spoke about the fact is that the prophet had said, like, go and borrow jars, borrow them, empty jars, empty vessels, go and get them, go and get them, go and get them. You know, what have you got? I've got one jar. Well, go and get empty ones. Send the people, send your sons out, get them to borrow. You know, and I really believe, as I read in the context of the scripture there, that if the jars had kept coming, God would have kept filling. You know, it said there, like, you know, when she sent the son, there's no more jars, Mum. The oil ceased. That's God's promise to us as a church. If we're ready, if we're hungry, he'll keep filling the jar, filling the jar. If you're hungry for him, he'll fill the jar and fill the jar and fill the jar. But we've got to have a hunger. We've got to have a need for him to fill the jar of our lives. And that's the way I came at it last time. I called it somewhat differently this time. You see, this woman, she had little resources. The cupboard was pretty bare. She didn't have to sort of take an inventory of what she had. She knew she had one jar of oil left. And the possibility of her sons being taken away as slaves to serve for the debt that she owed. And Elisha was there saying, you know, what have you got? My plea to you as a church today, what have you got in your hand? What have you got today? What's in your hand? What can you use? Because if you're prepared to use it, God's prepared to bless it. What have you got? You may not have much. You may not, it'd be like this widow woman here. She hadn't got much, and she knew exactly where she was at. She knew there was only one jar left, and that wasn't going to do much. That wasn't going to bring in much money. That wasn't going to make many bread loaves. She could see the end, as it were, the darkness clouding in on her. But, you see, she failed to factor in the possibilities with God, and what God could do with her little bit, with what she had. It's like the widow's mite, isn't it? You know, she put everything she had into the offering. Everything she had. You know, and that's a wonderful position to be in. But it's biblical. When we're in a period of drought, we need to sow more. You know, it's not time to hold back. That's the time for sowing. You know, when we're in the drought, we need to sow because we need a harvest. And there she was. You know, she was. I can just picture her. You know, she said, well, it's crazy, man. Go and get empty vessels. I want full ones. I want full ones. You know, but God knew her heart. You know, she wanted a full vessel. And the man with the prophet said, go and get some empty ones. And so that's what happened. They borrowed the jars. You know, she used her little bit of faith to say, okay, if you say so, okay, sons, go and borrow jars. Get as many as you can. And she sent them out. And I can imagine her going to a neighbour saying, have you got any empty jars? Remember, Wendy made jam, made marmalade at the beginning of the year. Total disaster. We all went in the bin. We threw it in the bin. But she said, I've got two big steaming pots and a few little jars. You know, we could have kept filling the jars with marmalade that didn't set. You know, but it's like that. You know, we didn't have enough jars for the marmalade. And we used everything, coffee pots, you know, glasses, cups, everything was filled with marmalade. It all went down the sink or the toilet because it wouldn't work. Yeah, you see, we often fail to see the potential that we have in ourselves because we look at ourselves and say, what can I do? But we shouldn't look like that. We should look, what, Lord, can you do with what I've got if I offer it up to you? And that's where I'm coming from today as a church. We often fail to see the potential of what God has given us. We look at ourselves purely in human terms and we forget the power of his anointing. You see, the oil didn't multiply until she put her faith into action and sent out for the jars. She could have refused. She could have just sat there and said, this is crazy, he's a crazy man. What a stupid thing to say. Go and get empty vessels. But I need full vessels. You know, it's a simple little mistake to make, and we can make simple mistakes that are big mistakes before God because we don't trust him and his word. And so there was she. She went out, put her faith into action, borrowed the jars. You know, and I've written down my notes here this morning. We all have something to give. Well, God says to you this morning, he says, Dick, what have you got? Bert, Tony, what have you got this morning to give? And you say, well, I've got a lot, Lord. I've got this. Now, if you've got the faith to put that little bit into action, I believe God will bless that. If you've got the faith to step out and say, Lord, I've only got this little bit, but I know with you it's going to make the difference. Without you, it's going to be nothing. It's only going to be a little bit of thing, but with you, it's going to be something fantastic. So my cry to you as a church is, what do you have? Start trusting him and put your faith into action. You know, even if God is trying to tell you something that you think is stupid. Have you ever had God tell you something stupid to do? Yeah, there's a few nods around there. I have, certainly. You know, I'm not going to say it this morning because I feel embarrassed by it. Like, you know, because my faith was just non-existent at that time. Couldn't believe it. But years on, and knowing God better and more, I can understand now. You know, I didn't put my faith into action. I didn't believe enough. And I just want to... I wanted to read you something this morning, but I haven't brought it with me, I don't think. Was that a little book in... No, it doesn't matter. I can remember part of it. I was going to read a little comment of a guy called Dave Duell from Colorado. We know Dave and his wife Bonnie quite well. And he wrote this this book. And he's a real sort of, he goes around laying hands on people and, you know, amazing things happen in the name of Jesus. And he talks about fear. And this book is entitled, this little excerpt from the book was, so fear not. You know, because the word says God has not given us a spirit of fear. God's not given you a spirit of fear this morning. He's given you a sound mind. A sound mind. We need to believe and to trust in this. You know, and is it fear this morning that's preventing you from using what you have? Is it fear? Is it fear? Is it failure that's stopping you from trusting and believing God for your future this morning? I want to encourage you this morning to trust in him. Perfect love casts out all fear. And this is what he was talking about in this little bit I was going to read. He talks about the perfect love of Jesus. We'll cast out all that fear. And if we're still living fearful lives, we need to get hold of the perfect love of Jesus, the perfect love of God, to realise that he loves us so much. I don't know whether there's any of those leaflets left on the table there, but we have those scriptures, those 40, that told us of how much he loved us, how much he wanted to do things for us, how much he wants to bless us. You know, and I encourage you, if there's no more, we'll print some more out, but get hold of these things. And when you're low, when you're feeling that nothing's going right, when you feel that the world's piling in on you, tell yourself what God tells you you are, not what you think you are, not what you can see, not in the natural, but in the spiritual. Start looking through spiritual eyes, folks, this morning, and see the things that God has for you. Start speaking to your fears, saying, "You're not of God. The Bible tells me, the Word tells me, that perfect love casts out fear." We've come before perfect love around the communion table this morning. And we said, "Jesus, we love you. You love us. And we'll never know till we get to glory just how much he loves us. We can't comprehend his love for us." Speak to your fears. Tell them they're not of God. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. Are there people in here today and you're arguing with God over your future? Are you being disobedient to the Lord over your future because of pride, because of what you want, not because of what God wants for you? And you're struggling with this. You know, we need to it talks about, and I haven't got the scripture here, but you'll be able to find it, you'll know, so you scholars will know, so you'll say it. David Duell talked about bringing every disobedient thought, you know, into obedience in Christ. All the things that we're thinking, the negatives about ourselves, they're not true. How can we say in one breath that God has, you know, not given us a spirit of fear, and then live in fear? We need to break out of that fear. Fear of disappointment. Fear of disaster. Fear of the unknown. Fear of failure. Fear, 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 fear. It's a thing that comes up every time. Are we fearful about tomorrow? Are we fearful for the next gas bill, electricity bill, not gas bills in Spain, do we? Electricity bill, water bill, mortgage payment. Are we fearful about it all? You're saying you're very flippant, Andrew. I'm not flippant at all. You know, I don't know what's going to be next month. You see, God had to bring us from that place of security to bring us into a place of not knowing tomorrow or next week or next year. And when we get to that place and we're willing to be obedient, then he pours in his blessing. And God has been faithful to us. I believe he will continue to be faithful to us. Why should it be any different? God hasn't brought us this far to fail. He's brought us this far, as Duncan said this morning, to launch into the new, into what God has for us. And very quickly now, we need to bring every disobedient thought into the obedience of Christ. We need to pull down some strongholds. What are strongholds? Strongholds are things that oppose God's will, what God has said in your life. You know, if things are coming against you to stop you doing that, they're strongholds. They need to be broken. Habits, things like that, that get in the way of you breaking through with Jesus. They're strongholds. Strongholds. And we need to bust them apart. You see, you have a purpose and a destiny. It may not be with Wellspring Church, it may not be with Victory Churches. Wherever you're from, whatever place you're from, wherever God's led you to, whether you're from the UK or you're part-time in Spain or you're full-time in Spain or wherever, I want to encourage you this morning, you have a destiny. Even though you may think it's small, even though you may think it not much, I tell you, folks, if you'll take hold of your destiny and trust God and send that for some empty jars this morning and say, "God, fill them," he'll fill them for you. And you'll be amazed at the filling, because it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be wonderful. I want to finish with Mark 8. I just want to read you just a few verses out of Mark 8. And this, I really believe, ties up everything together. It's the little story here about the blind man at Bethsaida. Mark 8, chapter 22. Mark 8, verse 22. The blind man healed. And it says these words: "Then he," Jesus, "came to Bethsaida, and the disciples brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him." Verse 23, "So he took the blind man by the hand." There you go again. You're willing to let God have what's in your hand? put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the waters, still the sea. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. Think about that. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. And maybe that's your testimony today. Maybe your faith testimony is, I know a bit about you, Lord. I just see men as trees walking. But I want to see you more clearly. I want to see my life more clearly. I want to see my destiny and my purpose more clearly. Verse 25. Then he put his hands on his eyes again. And this is a notable miracle. This is, it's an unusual one as well. This is a process of healing here, happening. Sometimes God heals people instantly. Sometimes there's another touch. You know, God is the God, multifaceted God, so wonderful. He put his hand on his eyes again and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Then he sent him away to his house. You know, just as I finished this morning, Jesus led the blind man out of town. Think about it. If you were blind and this guy came along and took you by the hand and led you out of town, you must have had some faith to go with him. Yeah, because he could have just left him there, out of town. He didn't know where to go. It doesn't say that his friends followed him. So there was immediately, Jesus put his hand in his hand and he said, okay, and followed. And he took him out of town. And the first point here, he went willingly. Are you willingly prepared to follow the Lord? Secondly, this healing that took place speaks of great trust in Jesus. He trusted the Lord. The Lord took him to this place where he did not know. Unfamiliar ground. He must have had great trust. He went willingly and he had great trust in Jesus. And thirdly, Jesus took him out of his comfort zone, out of his normal place that he would be, into unfamiliar surroundings where he had to have his sight or he couldn't find his way back home. And maybe God's taken you to unfamiliar places, but there's a purpose behind it. Because if you're willing to take hold of his hand, I believe he will spit in your eye, pick up the dust and rub it in and say, what can you see now? And you'll say, I can see my purpose and I can see my destiny because I've got hold of the hand of the man who holds my purpose and holds my destiny in his hand. Will you follow Jesus willingly today? Will you trust him today for your future? Will you let him take you out of your comfort zone today? It's there you'll find your purpose and your destiny.